You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
The draft is over. Let's wrap this puppy up with a big green and gold bow. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down day three of the draft, and really, the draft as a whole, for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Yeah, that's right! Another draft is in the books. It's good. It was cool. I enjoyed it this year. I'm always sad when it ends, you know? I miss my friends, man. I miss Mel Kiper and, you know, Louis Riddick and Daniel Jeremiah and all those guys. I miss them when it's over. It's, you know, they're such a huge part of our lives as football fans. Really, for like, what, almost 4 months? In the case of this year, almost 4 months, they're a huge part of our lives. And then, the you know, draft weekend comes, and they're just kind of gone, you know? Mel Kiper's off into the wilderness for another year or whatever. But I'm sad. I'm always sad when they go, you know? And just quick about Kiper, like, I was talking about this on Twitter today. It was this question, was should Mel Kiper be in the Hall of Fame? Yes! Mel Kiper and really Chris Berman, both of them, should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame for their contributions to the game with the draft. I mean, think about it, right? The draft was like a niche event for years. Like, you know, it was kind of a fringe event amongst football fans. It was held in, what, like a hotel ballroom? Was it the Sheraton or the Hyatt in New York City? You know, it was not a big thing. And really, I mean, a lot of people played a part, but particularly Kiper and Berman, being on ESPN for all those years, they really did help turn this thing from like a niche event into this national obsession, right? We're just obsessed with the draft. Like, it's 24/7, 365 now. That's how big the draft industry is. So, and again, those guys are a huge part of that. I think they should be in the Hall of Fame for their efforts. I do. That's just my opinion. Thought Kansas City did really well as a host city. Looked like a really cool setup there. Looked like everybody was having a good time, good vibes. It'll go to Detroit next year. They should be announcing 2025 soon. All indications are it's going to be Green Bay. Green Bay, Wisconsin, it sounds like is almost a lock to host the 2025 draft. I talked about this, I think was it on the preview. I'm so excited. I'm already anticipating that. It's going to be so exciting. Think about it, right? Here's what the draft is. It's outside for 3 days, right? Two nights and then a third day. It's free to attend, so Sconnies are going to love that. You know, we are a frugal people. Drinking is encouraged based on everything I saw on TV. And you can just kind of, you know, you can just kind of show up and yell, go Pack, go, as much as you want. This is going to, think, add all that together, this could be Wisconsin Woodstock. It really could. I was joking on Twitter, because there was a site that was listing all the attendance numbers for the past, I think it was 5 years, 6 years, whatever it was. Nashville still holds the record with, I think, 600,000 people attended, right there on Broadway. And I think Kansas City had, was it 312,000 this year? 315,000, somewhere around there? And I was like, Green Bay could blow that out of the water, because I'm pretty sure, again, based on everything I just told you that the draft is about, I'm pretty sure like 90% of the state of Wisconsin is going to attend this thing. It's going to be huge, and I'm going to be there all 3 days. With bells on. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be ready to rock. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. But that's off in the distance, of course. So let's focus. Let's bring it back. Let's focus on the 2023 draft. So the format for tonight, I'm going to go through the picks. I've broken them down into fun categories. More on that in a little bit, of course. And then I'm just going to kind of talk about the state of the team now with the draft being over. Quick, I want to give some quick thoughts on the Jordan Love contract extension of sorts, you could say, that was reached today. 2 years, max value of $22.5 million, and he got, was it a $14.5 or $13.5 million signing bonus? It avoids the Packers having to exercise his fifth-year option, but it keeps him locked in through next year. It was a win-win for everybody. You know, I think Love's salary this year was $2 million, and then if they had exercised the option, which I was always in favor of them doing, it would have been $20 million next year. So $22 million in total salary, that's basically what he's going to get, by all indications, via this new extension. It's a higher cap number this year for the Packers because of that prorated signing bonus being split into 2 years. And then it's lower next year. If my math is right, it'll be lower next year by about $5.5 million compared to if they had just exercised the option. So it's a win-win. Love gets a little bit more upfront money now, and the Packers get a little more security in case it doesn't work out. And the reality is, look, if it does work out and Love looks fantastic this year, he's going to get an extension next offseason. They'll do the big extension and get him taken care of. So it worked out for everybody, and the Packers offset the cost. Because like I said, Love's salary goes up this year now. They've offset that by restructuring Darnell Savage's contract. I believe they added void years to the end, so it cleared up about $5.5 million in cap space, which is just about the extra amount now for Love. So really, it's even Steven as far as this year's cap goes. Which, if you listen to the show, I think I said back on the State of the Packers pod I did in late January that I thought they should have done. So they had to do something with Savage's contract. Just having him on the books at whatever it was, $8 million, $8.5 million this year, was crazy. So it was good to see them take care of that. Better late than never, I guess, right? Before we get into the fun, I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. I'm now on Instagram. You can find me by searching for Lemps Talk and Pack and looking for that goddamn green donut that everybody loves so much. And thank you to the people who've reached out to me on Instagram in the last couple days. There's been a few of you. Nice to hear from you. You can definitely reach out to me there, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. For anyone listening on the Wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good, too. A comment. It would be nice. We haven't gotten a comment in a while. Preferably a positive one. Could you do that? That'd be nice. You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. If you're subscribing there, look at the top. There's a little box with a star. Click on it. You can rate us there. Again, 5 stars. That'd be nice. Don't be a jerk. Hey, come on. Come on. I'm doing the show on a Tuesday night. I'm tired after a long day of work. Don't be a jerk. Leave a good rating. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. And as always, if you listen on a platform I don't mention, because I know there's a bunch out there, let me know which one it is. I'd love to hear which one it is. And again, just subscribe. Just mash down on that subscribe button. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. What a deal in today's economy. Inflation through the roof. It's free. It'll always be free. Just hit subscribe. Then we deliver it right to your phone. You don't got to search for it. And whatever's on your phone, our lips are sealed. We don't tell anybody. We tell nobody, okay? And a special shout out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. Are you excited now with the draft being over? Your schedule is going to be, I think they're releasing it May 11th. So what, 9 days from now? You know, what games are you going to at Lambeau? When are you going to make the pilgrimage up there? Or over there? Or down there? Wherever you may live. Well, head to theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. and they'll take care of you from there. There we go. Got jumbled in my mouth. Okay, now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about all these day three picks. 9 picks on day three. He really did it. That crazy son of a bitch, Gutekunst, he really did it. I said on the show Friday night, recapping the day two picks, I was like, well, don't worry. He's not going to... I know he's saying he'd be fine keeping all 9 picks, but they're not going to keep all 9 picks. He'll do some consolidating. Maybe move up a little bit here or there. Turn that 9 into like 7. They don't need 9 more players. I think that's... We all know that. They don't need 9 more players. He did it. He's a sicko, that Gutekunst. They didn't trade up or down once on day three. He kept all the picks. Even now, I can't believe it. So, that being the case, it just felt boring, you know, for me to be like, okay, and in round 5, they did this. Now to round 6, where they did this. Now, that's what I've done in years past. That made sense then because they had less picks. But with 9 of these freaking things... It just felt like that would be very monotonous to listen to. It would be not monotonous to record, to be honest. So I've broken the picks down into fun little categories. It should make this more enjoyable if I've done my job right. Always questionable if I have or not. But let's give it a shot. Let's go. Let's did this. Okay. So our first category we have here is... Goot decides to go... for double D. Lineman. I cracked myself up. Okay, so the first of Gutekunst picks day 3, Colby Wooden, Auburn. Defensive lineman taken in the 4th round with the 116th overall pick. 6'4", 273 pounds. He had 6 sacks, 11.5 tackles for loss, and 3 forced fumbles, all career highs. Last season. In 12 games, that was in 12 games last year for the Tigers. For his career, he finishes with 14 sacks and 29.5 tackles for loss in 40 games. 9.25 RAS, which of course fits what the Packers like, as we know. Then he doubles up. The double in the double D lineman. By taking Carl Brooks, Bowling Green State University, taken in the 6th round with the 179th overall pick. This is the pick he acquired from Tampa Bay in Green Bay's second round trade back on Friday. Brooks, 6'3", 303 pounds. He's coming off a monster 2022 season for the Falcons, in which he racked up 10 sacks and 18 tackles for loss, both career highs for him, and 2 forced fumbles in 13 games. He totaled 27.5 sacks, 46 tackles for loss, and 5 forced fumbles in 49 games. 5.88 RAS, so obviously a little lower than Green Bay usually prefers, but still. I mean, this kid was an incredibly productive collegiate player. The numbers speak for themselves. I like Brooks. He's the only player I correctly mocked at Green Bay. Another banger mock draft for me this year. Just crushed it again as usual. I got one player right. And even Brooks, I had them taking him in the 7th, so Green Bay actually snagged him around early. Definitely some similarities with these two, right? Both have great explosion off the snap, both close on the ball carrier really well, and both use their hands well. Both guys have a really good motor. Effort will never be an issue with these two, which you have to like. For Wooden, his size is probably the main concern, right? His profile is closer to what Green Bay looks for in its edge rushers. Remember, 6'4", 6'5", 250 to 270. He fits right in there. The Packers tend to like their D linemen at least 300 pounds. So he'll likely have to put on some weight. It's hard to imagine him succeeding in the NFL on the defensive line at 273 pounds. He'll probably have to put on at least another 10 pounds, I would guess. And while Auburn moved him around, you know, D-line, some edge, when I watch him, I just don't see him being an edge in any capacity in the pros. No, he's a D-lineman for me. Yeah, that's where I think he'll make his mark. For Brooks, You know, I think the big question is, can he handle the sharp jump in competition level? You know, it's one thing to dominate in the MAC. You know what I mean? No disrespect meant there. Just saying, MAC fans. As with Wooden, Brooks was moved around at Bowling Green, played some edge, but again, I just don't see that happening in the pros. He's also a D-line only. And I think with Brooks, there's other questions about, you know, namely about his overall athleticism. Obviously, with that 5.88 RAS, there's probably some concern there. Now, having said that, I like both these picks. I think Wooden will slot in at D-line 4 for the Pack, with Brooks at D-lineman number 5. Wooden seems more likely to make an impact next season. I think that's fair to say. Brooks may take a little more time. But both guys have enough raw talent, and they play with enough effort. That's big. They play with that effort. I think both could become solid contributors eventually. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we move on now to another category. This one's called Goot Continue Showing Jordan the Love. If you thought Goot was done bringing in pass catchers for Jordan Love after snagging a pair of tight ends and a wide receiver on day 2, well, my friend, you were dead wrong, as he drafted 2 more wide receivers on the final day. His first of those was Virginia's Dontavion Wicks, taken in the 5th round with the 159th overall selection. This is the pick he got from the Detroit Lions in the first of his 2 tradebacks on Friday, when they moved from 45 to 48. Right, the Tampa pick was from 48 to 50. This one, 45 to 48. Wicks, 6'1", 206 pounds. There's the size Green Bay prefers from its wideouts. 9.17 RAS, so he brings that to the table also. In 8 games last year, he caught 30 balls for 430 yards and 2 scores. Quite a drop-off from his ridiculous, outstanding 2021 campaign, where he caught 57 passes for 1,203 yards. That's 21.1 yards per catch, folks. And 9 scores. A big reason for that, Virginia had a new coach last year, so he was clearly affected by the scheme change. So the statistical slippage, I know some are worried. I'm not that worried about that. I think there's a pretty clear reason for that. A lot of similarities, I think, between Wicks and Jaden Reed, taken by the Pack, obviously, in the 2nd round Friday. The biggest one, Wicks. I mean, this dude, like Reed, just makes the contested catch over and over and over again. Some of the catches he makes, Wicks, I have no idea how he comes down with the ball. But over and over again, he just does. And unlike Reed, I actually do think Wicks has a chance to be a real downfield weapon for the Packers. Only ran a 4.6 240, but when you watch him, he sure seems to play a lot faster than that, right? As Bill Walsh would say, he's got functional football speed. Definitely has that. His chances of becoming a vertical weapon should only improve once he learns to be a better route runner. That's something he does have to work on. And while he excels at the contested catch, he does sometimes leave plays on the table. His hands, they've definitely been a big issue for him at times, particularly last year, I would say. That's the biggest concern. Of course, when your job title includes the word receiver in it, that's a concern. That can't happen in the pros. He'll have to get better there. Goot then completes the final day double dip at wide receiver with Green Bay's last pick of the day, pick number 256 in the 7th round, by selecting Charlotte's Grant Dubose. 6'2", 201 pounds, 8.79 RAS. It's pretty good. You're going to hear a lot about this kid's story between now and camp and probably in the first part of camp. What a story this kid has. So if you don't know, he starts his collegiate career at D2 Miles College in Alabama. Plays his freshman year there, 2019, okay. Then the entire 2020 season was canceled, of course, due to COVID. He works, I believe it was 3 different jobs that year, part-time gigs. Then he's got one of his buddies who plays at Charlotte. He's talking to Dubose, and he's like, hey man, try out for our team this summer. So DuBose is like, all right, I'll give it a shot. He makes the team, and he's off and running from there. Puts up 62 catches for 892 yards and 6 scores in his first year there. Essentially his freshman year there in 2021. Wow, what a story. Then last season he catches 62 balls for 792 yards and 9 scores. Stop me if you've heard this one. The first thing I noticed about DuBose, his ability to make the contested catch. Are you sensing the trend here? This dude, like Reed, like Wicks, just has that knack for making the tough grab over and over again. That jumps out at you when you watch him. There's a reason, quick aside, I mean, there's a reason they took 3 wide receivers who have this ability, of course. Because those are the guys who can help a young quarterback as he finds his way. Right? I'll give you a scenario. 3rd and 8. Packers are at their own 40-yard line. They're driving for a game-winning field goal. You know 3rd down, the other team is bringing the heat, right? Love's got to get rid of the ball quick. You need those guys who Love can fling the ball to under pressure and feel good about them hauling it in with coverage on them, right? Tight coverage. You need those guys. Goot drafted 3 guys who have that ability. You got to love that. I like DuBose's body control, too, especially for someone with just 2 years of D1 experience. It's impressive. One thing, I'm not sure he'll be a real deep threat, though, right? He feels like he'll be more of a short to intermediate guy, more of a possession receiver, I think, in the pros, if he makes it. His athleticism is good, but I don't think it's great, necessarily, in that respect. Still, there's obviously value here late in the draft. He'll be a guy, he'll compete with Bo Melton for that 6th receiver spot. Should be a fun camp battle there. And maybe they'll keep both. Who knows? You know, it's funny on the wide receiver thing. Goot basically, did anybody else notice this? I talked to this on Twitter Saturday. Goot basically copied his wide receiver drafting formula from last year to a T this year. Right? Last year, he goes Christian Watson in the 2nd, Romeo Doubs in the 4th, and Samori Toure in the 7th. This year, Reed in the 2nd, Wicks in the 5th, and DuBose in the 7th. So, 2-4-7, this year, 2-5-7. Found that interesting. Okay, so now we've got those covered. Let's move on. This one is, this category is called Picks That Make You Go, Or maybe make you say something a little more vulgar. Yeah, this is kind of the unfortunate part of the show. These two picks were by far the biggest head-scratchers of the entire weekend for me, right? The first comes in the 5th round, pick number 149 overall, Green Bay's 1st of the round, when the Packers selected Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford. Clifford, 6'2", 211 pounds, 9.04 RAS, so he does have that. Last season, in 13 games with the Nittany Lions, he completed a career-high 64.4% of his passes, 2,822 yards, a career-high 24 touchdowns, and 7 picks, tied for a career low in that category. In 5 years at Penn State, 6 if you count his red shirt here in 2017. Felt like he was there double that, if I'm being honest, but whatever. Maybe that's because I think he and Trace McSorley are secretly the same person. That might be what that is. He threw for over 10,000 yards, 86 touchdowns, and 31 picks, completing just over 61% of his passes. Certainly a productive player who had some success at the collegiate level. More than some, even, you could say. Okay, I'm just going to be up front. As a Big Ten guy, right, I'm a Minnesota alum, I feel like I watched Clifford a fair amount. A solid amount. And I just never, not even one time, saw Clifford and thought, oh yeah, this guy, he is a pro QB. I just never thought that, you know? Maybe in like the CFL or the XFL or something like that, yeah, sure. But in the NFL? Not so much. Now, he's a good athlete. He is that. And at times he shows good touch on his throws. I think particularly that's true with the shorter to intermediate stuff. And there are moments where you think, oh, maybe he's got an okay arm, I guess, in terms of arm strength. But then, just as you think that, he underthrows someone badly deep. Or the arm strength is there, but the ball is wildly off the mark, and you're just like, what the shit was that? Look, for a guy who played as long as he did in college, he shouldn't be as inconsistent as he is. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I've spent a lot of Saturdays saying similar things about the former Minnesota quarterback, Tanner Morgan, who, like Clifford, was brought in by the Packers for a pre-draft visit. Now, Morgan signed with Pittsburgh as an undrafted free agent, which, frankly, that's where I thought Clifford would end up, too. Right? Like, when I saw they brought them both in for visits, I was like, oh, they brought him in. Maybe they take one as an undrafted guy who they'll sign as, like, the third QB or something, or a camp arm after they draft someone better to be the backup. Nope. Clifford went in the fifth. He was the 11th quarterback taken. I'll be honest, I would have much rather they used one of their 72 day three picks to move up and take someone like maybe Purdue's Aiden O'Connell, who I mocked to the Packers in my live mock draft. At least there, with O'Connell, there were moments watching him where I was like, oh, maybe he could be a pro quarterback. And the Packers, with their cap situation, folks, they're in a tough spot. They likely won't be able to sign a vet to back up Jordan Love. They just don't have the cash. You know? Not that there's really anybody out there at this point anyways, but even if there was, I don't think they'd have the cap space. So that job is going to be Clifford's to lose. He most likely is your backup quarterback, everybody. I don't know about that. Matt LaFleur is known for his ability to develop quarterbacks, and that skill is going to be put to the extreme test here. I'll say that. If he can make Sean Clifford a serviceable backup, then I will fully be convinced that he's a true QB whisperer or something. Oh, and did I mention that Clifford is 3.5 months older than Jordan Love? Because that's a thing, too. Yikes. Speaking of being a positional whisperer, we sure better hope that's the case with special teams coach and apparent shadow GM Rich Bisaccia. Because this kicker they took, Auburn's Anders Carlson, selected in the 6th round, pick number 207 overall. He does not exactly inspire confidence, let me say that. 6'5", 219 pounds, no Raz, because my God, why would a kicker need a Raz? Last season Carlson was 12 of 17 on field goals, 70.6%. 9th best in the SEC. Gulp. And 22 of 22 on PATs. Perfect 22 of 22. Now, look, he was fine from 20 to 39 yards, right? He was 8 of 9. But only 4 of 8 from 40 yards out and further. Ugh. In fact, he didn't make a field goal. He did not, let me say that again, make a field goal from 50 yards plus his last 2 years at Auburn, going 0-for-4. All right, his best year was 2020, when he went 20 of 22 on field goals, 90.9%, by far his career high, including a 7 of 8 showing from 40-plus yards. So that was good. His brother, you probably know this by now, but if you don't, his brother is Raiders kicker Daniel Carlson, who was initially drafted by the Vikings and then had one of the most brutal performances I've seen, not from a rookie kicker, but from any kicker at Lambeau. If you remember this game, it was early on, was it week 2, week 3 in the 2018 season? It was Mike Max last year. He missed, I don't even remember how many kicks he missed. Did he miss 2 in overtime? I think he missed 1 in regulation and 2 in overtime. That was that game that infamously ended in a tie. So his brother was, of course, cut immediately after by Mike Zimmer, and then he ends up with the Raiders, where initially under the tutelage of Bisaccia, he's carved out a nice career for himself. In fact, he's been all pro the last 2 years, right? Yeah, he was first team all pro last year, and then second team all pro the year before. Yeah. Anyways, that's one of Anders' strengths. Can we call him Durs for the Workaholics fans out there? Let's just call him Durs. We're going to call him Durs for now. That's one of Durz's strengths on his NFL.com draft profile. Literally, his first strength is listed as brother is an NFL kicker. How is that a strength? So yeah, not a great sign right off the bat. Now, Goot mentioned in his post-draft presser that Carlson has had ACL and shoulder injuries, I believe, the last couple years, and that may have contributed to his underwhelming showings. Because in addition to the field goal struggles, kickoffs have been an issue. His depth is not always great. He had a bunch of kicks blocked, numerous kicks blocked. Hey, that's something we know all about, don't we? I mean, Goop basically said Bisaccia made this pick in so many words if you watched his post-draft presser. He said Bisaccia's comfort level with Carlson was a big reason why they made this pick. So hopefully Rich knows what he's doing here. He seems to. So that does provide at least some confidence. Now, I know the team is sort of setting it up as Carlson versus Parker White, an undrafted guy out of South Carolina, signed to the roster right after the season ended. But, I mean, come on. They didn't use a draft pick on a kicker. A sixth-round pick to boot, no pun intended, to have him not make it out of camp. I mean, I suppose there's a chance if White is basically perfect and Carlson can't walk and chew gum at the same time that White wins the job, but I highly doubt that happens. That's also why I would guess Goot wouldn't slam the door shut on bringing Mason Crosby back during his post-draft presser, if you caught that. Because there's a chance both these guys stink, and you know both guys are terrible, and he needs someone for one more year. And in that case, yeah, that someone would most likely be Mason Crosby. So probably smart not to slam the door shut on that. Yeah, good call by Goot. But let's hope for the best here with Carlson, right? Crosby had an incredible run. We all love Crosby. I've probably said it dozens of times on the show by now. I love the guy, right? Incredible run, no question about it. But I think we all know it's definitely time. This is the time to move on. So hopefully Durz can be the guy. I love saying Durz. I do love saying that. So let's just, hopefully he can be the guy, but let's just say I still have my reservations about this pick. I will say that. Okay, so that's, let's see, we've talked about six picks down? Yep, six picks down now. We move to the next category, which is titled Seventh Secondary Steals? After ignoring the secondary for the first six rounds of the draft, Goot decided to double dip there with two of the Packers' final four selections of the draft. He first selected Kentucky cornerback Carrington Valentine in the seventh round with the 232nd overall pick. Valentine, 6 foot, 193 pounds, outstanding 9.29 RAS, including a 4.44 40 time. Really good stuff there. In 12 games for UK last year, Valentine recorded 48 tackles, a career-high 10 passes defended, one pick, and one sack. With Valentine, and what a name! Carrington Valentine. That sounds like something off of Days of Our Lives, right? Or The Young and the Restless. That's a soap opera name. Outstanding. With him, the raw physical tools, they're all there. Good size, good athleticism, and he brings a toughness and swagger that I like. He's good in press coverage, which probably comes as no surprise given what I've just said. Now, he is an issue in zone coverage, though. Too aggressive at times. Too much of a risk taker. He needs to play with a little more control, or maybe more than a little. And he only started playing, that makes sense, because he only started playing corner as a junior in high school. So, really, he is still learning the game. So he has to continue, I think, to just improve his overall awareness at the position. Right? That seems fair to say. Oop, burp, got to keep it real. But, you know, in the seventh round, he's the type of guy you roll the dice on, right? You bet on the physical tools, the toughness, the attitude, you know, and hope that you can sort of smooth out the rest. If Roswell Douglas stays at corner, I'd say Valentine will probably be in that, running for that fifth spot, right? Probably Eric Stokes, Douglas, Nixon, and then Valentine's probably in a battle with Shamar Jean Charles, you know, players like that for that fifth spot. And then two picks later, hey, a safety. Finally, a safety. See, everyone, you wanted a safety? Go got you a safety. Anthony Johnson Jr., Iowa State, taken with the 242nd pick, again in the 7th round. 6 foot, 205 pounds, 8.13 RAS, so definitely quite good there. In 12 games for the Cyclones last year, Johnson Jr. had 60 tackles, 2 picks, 4 passes defended, and 1 fumble forced. Okay, so obviously the first thing you notice about Johnson is his versatility. Played corner his first 4 years there at Iowa State before switching to safety last year. And he did well there for the most part, right? So, you know, obviously he's going to be a guy you can move around a little if necessary. You obviously like that. The Packers like guys like that. He's also very physical. Very physical. That jumps out quickly when you watch him. He can really lay the wood, you know? He just hammers guys. Now, the drawback, like Valentine, he's perhaps a little too aggressive at times. Or even a lot too aggressive. Needs to play under control a little more. And obviously, he just moved to safety last year, so he's got to learn about the position, you know? You would think. He's got a lot to learn about the position, you would think, I should say. I've seen some fans saying he could start for Green Bay at some point this year. That, I would say, slow down. That feels like a big stretch to me. He just started playing safety last year. You think he can play safety? He could start for the Pack in the NFL? That seems like a stretch. I like this pick. I think he's got some upside for sure. But he needs to grow and develop a little first. I mean, that's obvious. I think he'll be a guy who will compete for the number 4 safety spot, presuming they bring Adrian Amos back, which I think they will. But yeah, both these picks, they make sense in the 7th round. Sure. So all right, let's see. I got 2, 4, 6, 8. That's 8, and we come to the last category. This category is simply called Lou Nichols III because, well, I couldn't think of anything clever here. Running back Lou Nichols III, Central Michigan University, taken in the 7th round at pick number 235 overall. Nichols III, 5'10", 220 pounds. Last season in 9 games at Central, Nichols had 601 yards rushing, 3.4 yards per carry, and 6 touchdowns on the ground. He also caught 21 passes for 128 yards. Quite a dip from his big year, his monster year, which came the year before, 2021, where he earned MAC Offensive Player of the Year honors. Check out these numbers. In 13 games, Nichols III racked up 1,848 yards rushing, 5.4 yards per carry, and 16 touchdowns. He also caught 40 balls for 338 yards and 2 scores. Those numbers, that's like video game shit. He had some injury stuff last year, which obviously caused a sharp statistical drop, but still, he's shown he can be an incredibly productive player. Didn't post a RAS because he only did the height weight measurements and the vertical jump, so no 40 times or anything like that. That's all right, though, because you know what? When you watch this kid, it's clear within about 10 seconds what type of player he is. This is an old-school power back, baby. A north-south, mostly between the tackles runner. See hole, hit hole, you know? Good size, good sturdy frame, can take on contact and dish it out just as well. You like that. He seems to see things pretty well, I would say. I'd say his vision is a plus. Yeah. Of course, having said that, you know where I'm going here probably. No, he's not a real home run threat or anything like that. Far from it. He's not going to outrun too many people because he didn't outrun that many in the MAC. So that limits his ceiling, obviously. And he's not going to juke anyone out of their cleats or anything either. This is basically a straight line power guy. Still, there's maybe something here with Nichols. I like what I see when I watch him. He should challenge Tyler Goodson and Patrick Taylor for that number 3 running job in camp, at the very least. That should be a fun battle. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the job. Yeah. So that's it. That's 9, right? I'm just doing this out loud because I've got some on paper and some on the computer. I got 2. There's 4, 6, 8, 9. Yep, that's 9. There you go. So that's it. Those are the 13 players added by your Green Bay Packers in this year's draft. Now on paper, for whatever that's worth, it does feel like Green Bay did well. They had needs, need areas, and they took players who, again, on paper, feels like they can potentially fill those needs. That's especially true with regards to the pass catcher spots on offense, wide receiver and tight end, and on the defensive line, right? Remember I said in the preview, those were probably the biggest need areas for the Packers. Gook clearly agreed. He attacks it, right? He takes three wide receivers, two tight ends, two defensive linemen, and really, with Lucas Van Ness probably at least spending some time there, you could almost say they took three defensive linemen. They took three players who can play defensive line. So really, it was five pass catchers and three defensive linemen, in a sense. You know, it felt like it was pretty obvious those were the biggest need areas. Again, Gute agreed. You sprinkle in a first-round edge guy in Van Ness, who can play some D-line, a quarterback, a running back, some secondary guys, a kicker, and voila! There's your draft class. There were some surprises. They didn't take any offensive linemen, I believe, for the first time since 2015. Although, did I touch on this on the preview? I think I did. I like their offensive line. I think they've got... burp a second time. Got to keep it real a second time. I like their offensive line. I think they've got a lot of talent there, And I think most of the spots are locked in, right? Bach's going to be your left tackle for at least one more year. Jenkins is going to be the left guard. Myers will be the center. John Runyon Jr. will be the right guard. And probably either Zach Tom or Yosh Nyman at right tackle. I was wrong. They didn't trade Nyman draft weekend. I thought there was a good chance it didn't happen. But then with one of those two at right tackle, my guess is it's going to be Zach Tom. The Yosh Nyman at right tackle experiment did not always go great, particularly remember the Week 17 game against Detroit where he got benched. I just don't think Yosh is right tackle. But I think Zach Tom could be. I think he'll... Zach Tom is so talented, I think he could play anywhere. And I think he will be the starting right tackle. And then I think if, Josh Myers falters at center, because this is a make-or-break year for Josh Myers, I really believe that. They could always slide Tom over at center. Some people think that is his best position. Slide him over at center, and then Yosh comes in at right tackle. That's definitely possible, with Yosh being the main backup at left tackle, of course. But I like, and I think they've got depth. Royce Newman is not a starter, but he's a good depth piece. It's too early to give up on Sean Ryan. I know he was bad last year, then he got suspended for the PEDs, but he could still be a player. There's talent there. I think they've got a lot of talent on the offensive line. So the fact that they didn't take one wasn't super surprising to me. I held out hope that they were going to take my guy Jake Witt from Northern Michigan University. They had two chances to take him in the seventh, and they didn't, and then he got picked by the Indianapolis Colts. So that was sad, although I'm obviously ecstatic for Witt and for all Bruce Crossing. But that's, I guess, the only real surprise, I would say, is no offensive line. But is that much of a surprise? Not really. Again, I think they did well. But having said that, we know the harsh reality of the NFL draft, right? If, say, two or three of these guys become big-time players and another three to four become solid, valuable contributors, that would make it a good draft, right? If seven of these guys become big-time players slash at least solid contributors, that makes this an outstanding draft. And if that's the case, that means at least six of these guys will essentially be total flameouts in the pros, at least in Green Bay. Ron Wolf always said that if you're hitting on 40% of your picks, you're a damn good drafter. Well, if Green Bay hits on 7 out of 13, that would make this an incredible draft. So again, the harsh reality of the league, where I'm sitting here talking about positives and how this guy could be a contributor and how this guy could be a contributor. But the reality is that, probably at least 50% of these guys will never do anything. That's just, again, the reality. Still, I find myself, I don't know about you guys and gals, but I find myself incredibly excited for this upcoming season. This is more, I'm just going to keep saying it, this is more excited than I've been in a long time. There's going to be a youthful energy to this team, an energy that we really haven't seen in Green Bay in a long time. We're not going to be burdened by the expectations. There's not going to be a Super Bowl or bust mentality with this fan base. which is good. I think it will allow us all to breathe a little easier. Maybe we'll all beat each other's throats a little less. That would be nice. The focus is instead going to be on improvements. Improving. Growth, right? More so than they have to win every week. New faces are going to emerge. New favorites are going to emerge. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be, you know, Mama told me there'd be days like this, games and moments. Because, I mean, there surely will be. But there's going to be moments of real joy, too. I really believe that. As we watch this new group take their first steps together. You know? And who knows? There's still enough talent on this team that if the new-look Packers can develop quickly enough, they maybe, possibly surprise some people. Okay, so that's it. That wraps up both this episode and the Lemps Talkin' Pack coverage of the 2023 NFL Draft. It was a blast. I hope you all had as much fun as I did. Four shows in a week regarding the draft. Five shows overall if you count my breaking down of the breaking down the Rodgers trade. And I loved every second of it. I really did. This was awesome. This was a ton of fun. I love the draft every year, and it was as much fun as it's ever been this year. Good times. As for when you'll hear from me next, at this point, I'm honestly not sure. Now, if any news breaks, of course, I don't know what that would even be, but if anything breaks, I'll jump on here and talk about it. But I don't have any, scheduled shows upcoming. I got some possible summer series I'm kicking around, some fun episodes that those won't necessarily be about this upcoming team. But I can't really talk about it too much because I don't want to give it away if I do end up doing them. But if I can get the time and I can pull them off, it could be pretty cool. It could be good stuff. So yeah, keep your eyes and your ears open, right? I say this all the time. And yes, I'll keep you posted. I really don't want it to be 3 more months because it was 3 months for my State of the Pack series, the looking back, looking forward to when I started the draft stuff. I don't want to take 3 more months off. I want to do something in some capacity, and I really believe I'm going to. So yeah, keep your eyes and ears open. I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.